Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you haven't done Primal Kyogre and Groudon, Groudon's easier because of 4x weakness. Kyogre, in my opinion, might be one of the hardest raids in the entire game. You, six people is borderline, and they all have to be paying attention. And if it has Blizzard, God help you.
Yeah. you're like, oh, I'll just bring all electric Pokemon. No, you don't understand. Yes. It might as well be super effective.
it's so much damage.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
You won't have to earn your PhD to enjoy this new costume, Pikachu.
Whether the weather holds up or not, Weather Week is here to deliver. And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 273. It is March 6th. It's a Wednesday evening. A Wednesday evening. Yeah. I'm your host, Chris, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Tired.
Yeah.
Three in the afternoon and I'm tired.
My man needs a nap. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for powering through and recording with me on our not regular recording tape. I once again have to publicly thank Kyle for his flexibility. Yesterday I was tied up with work, and around like 2 o'clock I called him and I was like, hey, it's gonna be a problem. So here we are. But all the same, it's gonna be another episode of GoCast. All right, so before we get started here, we both set some goals for this past weekend. There was the Charged Up Research Day over the course of that. I know I set some goals for it. I set a particular goal for it. Kyle, you did not. So I'm kind of eager to see how you did. I know how I did this week, and I'm not thrilled about getting to that point. So
okay,
feel free to take your time answering these questions, but how did you do with gifting this week?
I'm here to let everybody know that I hit my gift opening limit every single day since we recorded last. Except
what?
Today, I haven't opened gifts yet today. But
oh my god!
I've also sent every single gift I've had, which is not a lot. I have not spun a lot of stops, but it has been, you know, 20 to 25 a day.
That is insane, actually. What was the motivation there? Just because you were like, man, I need Pokeballs?
I got a lot of friendships, apparently, I got to work on.
Yeah, but
gotta get that. See, I can get that experience without having to catch Pokemon every day.
True.
Got to get to level 50 by 2025. So
yeah, all these other events that like there's nothing else going on except there's a bonus for XP. You won't feel nearly as bad about missing those if you just keep up in your friendship.
Yeah,
that's right. What about buddy progress? Did you make any headway there?
I did. I'm getting very close with my. I believe this is my fifth best buddy. No, this is my sixth best buddy. So
no.
I'm very close. Jeez. To the 10 for the Hoenn research.
you're twice as close as Fish was last
week.
Oh
my god.
300,000 experience.
I did. I got like 600,000 ish.
Nice. Yeah, Spotlight Hour was a godsend for sure.
Yeah.
And then did you clear 2,000 storage at the very least in your storage?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay.
Do that.
Hey,
I,
respect. I didn't do that. And then any of the shadow research?
I did not. I currently have three research waiting to fight Giovanni. So
okay.
I forgot to equip the shadow radar, the super radar yesterday.
Yeah.
And so now it's equipped. So hopefully, you know, when we're done here, it'll be like around 6 o'clock. I'll get a rocket balloon and I'll get that done.
Nice. And get your other Kyogre, right?
Hopefully, it's better than the last one.
How bad was the last one?
It wasn't horrendous, but it was okay. Let's see. Hang on. 7, 8, 11.
Oh, well, that's so, you said that wasn't horrendous. That's pretty close to really bad.
It's pretty bad. It's worse pretty than I bad. Remember, but that's, you know.
All right, well, I'm pulling for you. Anyway, you got 3 out of 5 this past week. Good for you. Good for you. For myself, I wanted to catch 2 shinies from Research Day. I thought it was 2 shinies in general, but apparently it was from Research Day. I went out. I completed the research, and then I came home. I was not really feeling it, to be honest with you. The only shiny that I was chasing was Joltik, and after I got through my research and all of my extra Joltik encounters, I did not get the shiny, but I did manage to snag a shiny Electrike in the wild during this event. Okay. And then the next morning, the second Pokemon I caught was a Munna, a shiny Munna.
Shiny Munna's pretty good.
It's cool, but it's not an event shiny. So no, unfortunately, that goal, that's a no.
Wow.
Clear 2000 storage. How about I didn't clear any storage
at
all?
Either, so
yeah, none whatsoever. Hatch 50 eggs. I only hatched like 37 this past week, so no there. And 250,000 Stardust. This I did get. Thank you very much for the season rollover for GBL. You pushed me over the edge. That's for sure. Yeah, so I had quite a whatever the opposite of a banner week is, a flyer week. I don't know.
I don't know what's the opposite of a banner week.
I had just a bad week in general. Just not, it wasn't great in Pokemon Go. I was stressed at work, man, and there just wasn't a lot of time for it. And boy, does it reflect in these goals. So 1 out of 4 for me, you know, I'll take what I can get, I suppose. But it just doesn't hold a candle to your 3 out of 5. So congratulations. Congratulations. Okay, so believe it or not, we actually have some news this week. So we're going to just hop in to that. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, it's kind of a bummer that Lachlan isn't here this week and he was here last week, because the first one is about something that he jumped on right away and has actually already achieved the platinum status of this medal. This piece of news is titled Spectacular Showcase Updates. Trainers, a spectacular slew of improvements are now available at Pokestop Showcase, or at a Pokestop Showcase near you. Here are some debuts. A celebration of community competitive spirit showcase participants who achieve 100 first place Pokestop Showcase rankings will now encounter Pikachu PhD, which is just making its Pokemon Go debut with this update. Plus, new avatar items inspired by Pikachu PhD will be available to all trainers who earn bronze, silver, and gold Pokestop Showcase medals. So if you get first place in a showcase, you get a credit, you know, a number upgrade to your medal, right? So if you have gotten 10 of those, you will unlock the Pikachu PhD headband. If you get 25 first places, you'll get the Pikachu PhD glasses. At 50 wins, it's the Pikachu PhD pose. And at 100 wins, it is encounter with Pikachu PhD themselves. So there's that. This is cool. It's neat.
Yep.
Yeah. I think putting rewards on medals is great. The other ones we've seen in the past have been like the Ace Trainer medal for that set, but nobody's really doing their Ace Trainer medal except for Lachlan, who set a goal for it last week. But hey, you know, see friends and showcases near you. Trainers can discover local Pokestop showcases in the nearby menu alongside the Pokemon Raid and Route tabs. Trainers can also see any friends who may be competing in the same showcase highlighted on the leaderboard. And the showcases are evolving. They say the competition continues as Pokestop showcases introduce even more new ways to compete. Showcases now allow more than one Pokemon species to compete in the given category. For example, there can be showcases where all fairy type Pokemon can enter, or showcases open to all dragon types. I like that they say compete in any given category as if we've had anything other than biggest Pokemon. I don't think we have yet. I hope we do.
Yeah, we really do. But the technology's not here yet for this evolution.
You don't think so?
No, because it's still judging Pokemon based on one metric.
Oh yeah, like not in comparison to its own range of like size or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like a the dragon fairy type, you know, Rayquaza's always going to be number one, for yeah. what, you know, or whatever.
Xerneas for fairy, I think, was the one that dominated when that yep. was around.
And
yeah.
it's like, yeah. there is mathematical solutions to that problem. They could do it. There's yeah, no question that they could do it.
Math is difficult.
And it would actually be pretty great. It'd be awesome to see an extra large Ribombee get first place over a Xerneas in a showcase because it was the absolute max it could be.
Okay, I agree. That would be pretty clutch. That'd be really awesome. But yeah, math is difficult, Kyle. You know, you got to give it to them.
They have computers to do the math, okay? No, I'm not giving them that.
Yeah, but
they don't
have
some dude in a warehouse with a pencil and a paper calculating the formula for each Pokemon.
But 7 is smaller than 25. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, math man. Thank you very much. So now I'm going to ask you the question that you wish I was not going to ask, which is what is your current number on your showcase star medal?
If it's bronze, I will be surprised. Hang on. I have to scroll.
For those at home, 10 is what you need for bronze.
What does it look like? Oh my gosh.
It looks like it's got like a ring of like ivy around a Pokeball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, okay, don't be mad at me for saying this, but I'm actually kind of surprised you have 7 because you have expressed in the past a lack of interest.
See, I do. Whenever I'm near a showcase, I will throw in something for a showcase. Like, I'm not min-maxing. Like, I'm not taking this one out so that I can make sure I get this first place or whatever. So,
yeah, that's fair. Let me tell you, I have set timers in the past and made mental notes to do so, and I still fail to do so. But I've had some success. I'm at 43 out of 50 right now. So I have my silver, and I'm 7 short of gold. Yeah, there's that.
6 of my 7 are from the showcase that is right down the street, like 2 blocks away. And then one of them is from the one by my dad's house. So
I'm very surprised that people in like your area, because you don't live like in a house on your own. You live around other people. I'm surprised there aren't other players that are competing with you. Do you see consistent people in those showcases?
There are other people who compete. I don't win every single one. Otherwise, I'd obviously be much farther along.
You'd have 10.
So yeah, there are other people, and I don't save every single XL Pokemon, so I don't always have the biggest, obviously.
True. That's fair enough. You know, and one thing that Kyle pointed out before we got started here is that, you know, getting first place in these showcases is hard, or it's very easy, depending. If you have nobody to compete with, you can probably rack up these first places rather quickly. But if you're in a high traffic, high population area, like a city like Chicago or New York or something, you're at a major disadvantage because there's like hundreds of people that will throw into any given showcase or try to on the regular. Is it fair to say, Kyle, that this might be one of, if not the one feature in Pokemon Go that favors the rural trainer over the non-rural trainer?
I think it does. And then I see people on my friends list who I know live in major cities that have the PhD Pikachu, and I'm like, what?
Those people are crazy. In a good way. In a good way. We mean fanatical, but also in a good way. Gosh, I chose 2 words that could be taken very poorly. Congratulations to those people. And congratulations to Lachlan, who sent me a screenshot of that Pikachu. And I think it was, who was it picked up by? One of the major Pokemon Go news sources made a post and used his photo. And people were like, wow, that's Lachlan. Oh my gosh. So very cool. Very cool. So there's that. We've got another piece of news here, which isn't surprising or novel in any way, because we have mentioned it last week. We mentioned it, actually, when we did the overview. This was mentioned. So, Primal Raid Days. When are these? There's going to be 2, one for Kyogre and one for Groudon. The one for Kyogre is Sunday, March 17th, and the one for Groudon is Saturday, March 23rd. And both of those will run from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time. So just important to note, Kyogre on that Sunday, Groudon on that Saturday. So you know, do what you got to do if you're interested in that. Event bonuses and an event ticket. We're going to detail both of those. Just know that these are identical for each event, even though on the blog post, they're listed in their entirety separately. Yes. We've gone through the trouble of condensing them. And by that, I mean, I took the Kyogre copy and then put slash Groudon next to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's exactly what it is. For event bonuses, Primal Kyogre slash Groudon will appear more frequently in raids. You can receive up to 5 additional free raid passes from Spinning Gym photo discs. Increased chance to encounter shiny Kyogre or Groudon. The remote limit will be increased to 20 from Saturday, March 16th at 5 p.m. to Sunday, March 17th at 8 p.m. So 20. That's going to be great. There's going to be an event ticket for $5 or the equivalent price in tier in your local currency. And these bonuses will be effective on Sunday, March 17th or March 23rd from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. local time. And those bonuses include 8 additional raid passes from Spinning Gym photo discs, increased chance to get rare candy XL from raid battles. Put a pin in that for a second. 50% more XP from raid battles and 2x stardust from raid battles. So pretty standard fare for raid days. The exciting bit here is that it is Kyogre and Groudon, let alone their primal forms. Now, I am going to throw this over to Kyle, who's actually excited for this event. But first, I want to take one moment to note something. This says increased chance to get rare candy XL from raid battles. Just know, those of you that are following the comms from Niantic, that this is actually going to be rare candy XL and not like the copy that was put out that we read several times for Sandshrew Spotlight Hour a couple weeks ago, where they said there was an increased chance of getting rare candy XL from transferring.
Oh my God.
After that post was up for weeks, they clarified on socials that was a mistake.
Oh, I completely missed that one. It makes sense. I don't pay attention to Spotlight Hour, but
I only know of this rigmarole that went with that whole thing because I listened to the Incense podcast and they talked about it. And so apparently there were lots of people who checked in and were trying to clarify with support prior to this company-based clarification. And all the support people were like, yep, that's what it says. That's what it's going to be. It was up for weeks,
oh
Kyle.
Oh, my gosh.
Weeks. Kind of wild. Yeah. So hopefully we won't see that again. Hopefully they'll have learned from that and there will be less confusion in the future. But it was worth noting. So if you just don't gaslight yourself, if you like us read Rare Candy XL from the transfers on that Spotlight Hour, you're right. You're validated.
It did say it.
It did. All right. So Mr. Kyle, tell me about Primal Raid Day and why it's cool.
Well, I mean, first off, Kyogre and Groudon are just cool. Primal yeah. are insanely strong. They're best in class, like, without question. I'm pretty sure future proof, unless like Z moves or Gigantamax break the game, which I don't expect either of those things to break the game. So yeah, they're just really good. I love Kyogre and Groudon, so I'm also biased. Yeah. They're big favorites of mine. I have a Hundo Groudon that I need more XL candy for, so any chance is a good chance. And I'd like a Hundo Kyogre, but I'm not going to get to play that Sunday because I have to work.
You could take a look for some coverage from other people, maybe.
I might. The other person's already working, so I'm gonna have to see. But anyways, also because it's a primal raid, and these are hard raids. Like yeah. if you haven't done Primal Kyogre and Groudon. Groudon's easier because of 4x weakness. Kyogre, in my opinion, might be one of the hardest raids in the entire game. 6 people is borderline, and they all have to be paying attention. And if it has Blizzard, God help you.
Yeah. yeah, you're like, oh, I'll just bring all electric Pokemon. No, you don't understand. It might as well be super effective.
it's so much damage. But that said, they're so difficult, and this is going to sound funny. 5 free raid passes, plus 2 because from the day, plus 1 from the previous day. That's 8 raids. Most people who are doing this event are not going to be able to do 8 raids in the 3 hours.
And if you get the ticket, that's 16.
Yeah. And to do 16 primal raids in 3 hours requires a good group. You would need to be on top of it. Yeah. So you don't even have to feel pressured to buy the ticket unless you want the specific bonuses as well, not just the raid passes.
Yeah, or you have your, you know, your group of 10 to 20 ride or die trainers, right? In which case, go for it. You'll burn through them for sure. If you have the raids too. Like, there's a lot of factors that that apply. So if you can, you're gonna try to do it, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna do Groudon for sure.
Sweet.
For sure.
Sweet. I will probably do whatever you end up doing so that we can play together. But you know, if you end up not doing Kyogre Day, just because you can't get coverage for work or something, or something happens with Groudon Day, I'll probably just remote with some people and not really go hard. I don't know what it is about this, but I am not super excited. I mean, I understand from a meta perspective that it's cool and that they're great legendaries to have and that the primal energy is a big get, especially for newer players, right? But for some reason, I'm just not excited. And I think it's just because I've been around enough and I did Hoenn Tour twice, you know.
I have 3,000 mega energy, primal energy for both of these, so
yeah,
these raids are not for the primal energy for me, but I do know that there are people out there who need it. So
yeah, 100% objectively good raid days to have. So get out there and get them done. Get your groups together now. Start organizing so you can burn through these rather difficult raids. Okay, our last piece of news here is a new event. We actually just got full events for it. Well, it's not a new event, but it's, you know, it's an event that's happening this month. Weather Week 2024. That'll be happening from Thursday, March 14th at 10 a.m. to Monday, March 8th at 8 p.m. local time. It comes with some event bonuses, including catch Pokemon with Weather Boost to earn extra Stardust. They mean this in addition to the extra Stardust you already get from doing that, but they don't say a number. It's cool. Two-time Stardust for catching Pokemon and an increased chance to encounter shiny cast form. Wild encounters for this event. It is funnily complicated. The following Pokemon will appear more frequently in the wild in the following weather conditions. Additionally, cast form will appear more frequently in the wild throughout the event in their respective weather conditions. If it's sunny, you'll see more Cacnea. Rainy, Lotad. Snow, Snover. Partly cloudy, Roggenrola. Cloudy, Spritzy. Windy, Swablu. Fog, Ghastly. The following Pokemon will appear more frequently in the wild regardless of the weather conditions, so these will be just filler that you see. Paris, Drifloon, Helioptile, Amora, and if you're lucky, trainers, Lickitung. Most of these can, I think all of the ones I just mentioned can be shiny. Yeah, it's not until we get to the raids that some of them can't be. So big shiny event. If you don't have the cast form shinies from the research day that we had, gosh, six years ago.
That was only rainy form for the research day, though, wasn't it? I know we've had the other ones since, but I think the research day only had rainy.
Wasn't regular cast form also available during
the regular cast form. Yes.
Yes.
Wait, regular cast form had the research day.
Yes.
Rainy had an event, and then the others just came out with Hoenn Tour.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Yeah, but Rainy definitely did have an event. I think it was for a water festival or something like that. But yeah, regular cast form was the only one that was shiny for the research day when it first came out. So yeah, that was a lifetime ago. So this is gonna be fun for new people. Speaking of the raids I had just mentioned, one star raids will feature Poliwhirl, Ghastly, Hippopotas, and Amora. There you go, Kyle, you can get your 10th Hundo Ghastly. Three star raids will feature Charizard, Lickitung, and Drampa. Time to hunt that Drampa shiny if you haven't gotten one yet, just like myself. Five star raids will feature Regice, you know. Mega raids will feature Mega Tyranitar, which is actually pretty awesome, especially when there's such a lackluster five star boss in raids.
Yeah,
I think.
Poor Regice.
Yeah, poor Regice. We've just seen Regice a lot. That's the only problem.
The Regis deserve regional form so bad.
They do.
Regice, Regirock, and Registeel would go so hard to bring their designs up to the level of Regieleki and Regidrago.
Okay, so yes, I agree, right? But at the same time, like, regional variations usually have like different typings, stuff like that, and you can't exactly make like Regice a fire type.
Why not?
Because its name is Regice. It's got ice in the name.
But Moltres is a is a fire type, but it's also something else. So like it can be not just monotype. Like that's the fun part.
So you're saying it could be like ice rock.
Yeah. Or like ice fighting type. I don't know.
Ice fighting type. You're getting wild out here, man. You're getting wild.
I'm just saying like they're prime. They're prime for it.
Yeah.
Maybe in Pokemon Legends ZA.
They are so big and so lacking in detail. They are literally blank canvases. You're correct. Field research task encounters. Field research tasks that have encounters as a reward will feature out of this pool. Paris, Drifloon, Helioptile, and Amora. And you can catch all the different forms of cast form. Normal, sunny, rainy, and if you're lucky, snowy, which is rare.
So let me ask a question then.
Yeah.
Let me go look at the blog post instead of our text before I ask my question.
Okay.
To make sure I don't. Okay. Okay. They're listed separately. My answers my question sort of. This is good. I was going to ask if you thought it was going to be tied to the weather or if it's just specifically the research.
Oh, no. You could have. I knew the answer to that. You could have asked me. Yeah. No, they listed it separately in the blog post, but I condensed it for our poor eyes.
Okay. See, that's good.
Yeah.
Because they won't be spawning in the wild regardless of the weather. And I don't like that.
Yeah, it would have been cool if this was like a 4-day event, or because it's a week, make it 8, just a little bit over then. And like each day was a different weather and then it repeated or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been cool. That would have gone well with the primal raids being coming up soon here too. Cause those weather Pokemon, man.
Nice itself.
Gosh. And then lastly, there's going to be collection challenges. You should finish those for your medal, but you'll also get some Stardust and an incense. And there's going to be showcases. Yeah, you know what to do with those. So there's that. Weather week. Get excited if you don't already have a surplus of shiny cast form.
Well, I mean, but like this is a good chance to potentially get multiple forms. Like I have the regular cast form. I don't think I have the shinies of any of the weather forms. So I'm not excited for this, but if I wanted those, it's a good opportunity.
I'm surprised you don't have a rainy.
I missed it. I don't know how. Maybe I traded somebody for one of them.
I thought I gave you one, maybe.
I don't think so. I think I missed it. I remember I played the event, but I still missed it. But either way, I wish
here we are.
Cast form desperately needs a form change option, but I get it.
It does.
I do get it.
It does. I like it. I like it being separate too. I think it has pros and cons for both.
Yeah, I do not have a shiny weather cast form.
Crazy.
In fact, I don't even have a snowy in my inventory right now.
Yeah, that's one of the ones where you catch it like, oh, cool, finally. And then when you mass transfer, you forget to exclude it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's the news. I'm surprised we actually had so much to talk about this week, which is nice. We've had so much news otherwise because, you know, it's the season starts. So, hey, cool. Well, this week we're not going to be having gear up. So we're going to cut to a little break here. And then when we come back, we'll pick it back up with Pokalore. Welcome back. It's Pokalore time, and we're going to talk about cast form. The weather Pokemon. I know we've covered cast form in the past, but I figured, hey, if we're ever going to revisit it again, now's the time. Cast form is an artificial Pokemon that changes appearance and attitude based on the weather. Same. Its body is made of cells exactly like those of water molecules, causing its cellular structure to be chemically altered by temperature and humidity. Though not of its free will, Castform uses its ability to protect its tiny body. In its normal form, it resembles a plain gray cloud with a single wisp extending from the top of its head. Regardless of the form it takes, it will always have a large spherical head and a lighter colored mask-like marking over its eyes. Various experiments were conducted to change its form in artificial conditions, but all have failed. In Generation 3, Weather Ball was its signature move. Despite its man-made origins, it can be found in grassland areas. Castform is the only known Pokemon that can have Forecast as an ability. Stats are not really that exciting, but we're going to cover them anyway because that's what we do. Max CP 40 will be 1632, and at level 50 is 1845. Doesn't even break the 2K mark. Poor little thing. 172 stamina, 139 defense, and 139 attack. Your best moveset is really going to be dependent on the form, You're going to want to use whatever the appropriate weather ball is for it. Fun fact, normal type uses a rock type weather ball, which is nice. Cool. And I think like Sunny cast form has had some play in some cups, like Great League cups, like limited metas. But I'm not.
Ironically, in Open League, it is the worst of the four.
That's hilarious. But yeah, there's that. So, you know, do what you will with your cast form, but don't raid with them.
Yeah. I like cast form. I think it's a fun Pokemon.
It's cute.
But it has no place in Go. The way that Go works.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool in the main series games. For those of you that have never played it or don't know how it works, you can change the weather in a Pokemon battle, and that will have some benefits or some disadvantages to certain types of Pokemon. Like for example, if it's Sunny, that boosts fire type moves and makes like Solar Beam instantly fire. Like there's a lot of little things with each of the different types of weather. But one of the things is that Castworm will change its form based on whatever weather condition it is. And those sorts of nuances are lost on us in the world of Go.
Yeah.
So it's important to point them out.
I like to think that
this Pokemon's cool.
I like to think that cast form and Kecleon walked so that Pokemon like Protein Greninja could run.
Yeah. Yeah. Run really fast.
It introduces good mechanics and ideas that the series can use in the future, but in and of itself, it's kind of just a tech demo of a Pokemon, which is a little bit sad of a description, even if it's true.
It is what it is. It is what it is. But anyway, we hope that you enjoy your cast forms and that during Weather Week, you're blessed with many shiny versions of all of the cast forms, I suppose. So that's that for Pokelore. That means, Mr. Kyle, it's Pokepoll time already. Oh, my gosh.
Last week's Pokepoll was, what are you looking forward to the most during the new season, World of Wonders? Ah, see, I said it correct this time.
You did.
I wasn't sleep deprived.
You killed it. Good job.
First up, we have Artemis Dragon. They said, Pika? Okay, I can't believe you made me say that.
It was good.
That's Captain Pikachu for AO, fellas. I'm looking forward to fewer filler events and more quality of life updates. I think the game has a ton of stuff to offer everyone already. All Niantic needs to do now is freshen up the usual for today's average player. Just to name a few we've all mentioned before. Skippable animations, ability to run away from encounters, scheduled 5-star shadow raids during one weekday and or weekend day. Trade distance expansion. That one's never happening. Team Rocket on off toggle. I'm looking forward to the new map and catch screen updates.
Oh, yeah.
Just please, for the love of Arceus, do something with the boosted weather spawns and the nearby. What's the point of having an updated map when stuff tethered to it are also outdated? Nobody, absolutely nobody, wants to see common spawns spamming their personal space or nearby. Peace. All fair things to hope for.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we got skippable egg animations. When do we get skippable evolutions?
That would be amazing. Can you imagine the amount of XP people that were properly prepared for evolution hour would get?
It would be several million.
It'd be insane. Also, very sore fingers after that. My word.
Stop. Yeah. Next was from Alex Beachy on Spotify. They said, definitely Shadow Mewtwo. Not sure how, but I've missed him every time he's been out.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
I mean, it has been a minute, but it is very exciting. If you can have a group to go out and play, Shadow Mewtwo raids are a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Next one's from JStep89 from Spotify. They said, the two daily raid passes, methinks, will be strategizing my raids every week to ensure I always have three free passes, plus some premiums here and there. To get my Shundo Sabertooth good boy.
Good luck. I hope that you find full groups for your Raikou.
Last one's from Eevee Lover Nia from Spotify, and they said, the release of more Paldean Pokemon. I love Paldea. It's my second favorite region. Only Sinnoh tops Paldea. My favorite Pokemon in Paldea is Sprigatito's evolution line.
Good taste.
Yeah. And there are some great Pokemon in Paldea.
Oh, yeah. Say what you will about frame rate or narrative about that game, but those Pokemon designs, several solid Pokemon.
Yeah, as a region, it's one of the stronger ones in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
And it even has some really good like no evolution Pokemon too. Like Flamigo is just, it's just fun.
I love Bombardier.
I like it in animation, but like its actual model is, I don't know.
You know, I love when they take something that's really established culturally and they're just like, yeah, but what if that was a Pokemon, right? And they're like, yeah. Oh yeah, the storks did the delivery, the baby thing, like took that whole idea and they're just like, make it a Pokemon. And it works. It works really well.
It does. It does.
The shiny is subtle, but good enough that it gets a pass.
It's like an off white instead of a regular white, right?
Yeah. It's okay. got like that silverine sort of like looked. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. For this week's PokePoll, we have, would you rather see abilities or held items add to Pokemon Go? And how would it work? Bonus points for an example. Oh, man.
Yeah, like we've talked about both in the past, but having to choose between the two, if you're like, you can have one, because both would have quite the sweeping change to the entire game. It would require quite a bit of mechanical like adjustment, right, in how the game works. But I've got my answer, so if you still need some time to think.
I mean, I can answer, but you go first.
Okay, I would much rather see abilities than held items, to be honest with you. I think held items would be simpler to implement, but abilities, I think, are just so much more interesting, mostly because Pokemon identities sometimes are really, really hitched on whatever their ability is. In my example, I'm going to point to, I know we've talked about in the past, though, Mega Mawile has an ability where it increases its physical attack, right, by like 50% or something like that, or
yeah,
it's some drastic amount. And I feel like that could work in a raid setting, and you're not using Megas in PvP anyway, so you don't have to like really balance around it. Why not make these Pokemon do more fun things in a PvE setting? And if it gets out of control, just up the general difficulty of some of those raids, you know, to accommodate. I think we're just kind of holding some of these Pokemon back from their true potential by sort of cutting them off, you know?
So, side note, before I answer, I just want to look it up to see the name. So Mawile, Mega Mawile learns Huge Power, which if you play the main series games, you probably know a lot from Pokemon like Azumarill. Because Azumarill also learns Huge Power. It's a big thing for raids in Scarlet and Violet.
It's a huge thing. Yeah.
And I was like, hang on, this sounds very familiar. So Mega Medicham, I knew, had the same ability. I thought, okay, it just has Huge Power. No, it has Pure Power. Which does the exact same thing.
Oh my god.
It's the exact same thing.
That's hilarious.
It's a unique ability to Medicham.
Just in name alone.
Yep.
Wonderful.
as for my answer, I'm going to say abilities as well. Mostly because I think abilities have the room to make a non-meta Pokemon viable or interesting, whether it's in PvP or PvE. Whereas held items instead adds a new layer of strategy to what is already relevant, which is still very interesting. Specifically for PvP, I think it could be very, very interesting. Something like an Assault Fest or Rocky Helmet would like turn the entire game on its head.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having a Rocky Helmet against, I can't think of a fast physical move, because I'm thinking like,
oh, like a Dragon Breath Altaria or something?
Well, Dragon Breath is special, so I was like...
Yeah, but there's no difference in Go.
I know, but they would have to differentiate like Ranger Man. Either way, like a one-turn fast move.
Yeah.
That you took counterattack damage to.
Wait, is Lick physical?
I mean, it's technically a ghost move, so I don't know if it's... Yes.
Yeah. You can spam Lick. You could end up knocking yourself out looking too fast.
Held items have the ability to make the current metas very interesting, but
yes.
Abilities have the ability to make all Pokemon potentially usable. And it would just be really cool to even see some of the more simple ones, like Huge Power, for example.
Yeah. Man, yeah, held items would really, really change GBL, like, entirely.
I just, you could even keep the simple ones. You don't even need, like, choice items and stuff like that, or focus sash, because those aren't relevant.
Yeah. Or what if you did have focus sash, and what it did is that once you hit zero health, you swapped out to another Pokemon, but then it went back into your bench with, like, 50 HP or something like that.
Well, no, because, see, that's Regenerator, the ability. When you switch out from Regenerator and you switch back in, you get 12.5% of your HP back. So, like,
okay, well, you know, I'm just saying that there are different ways to think about it. Yeah,
I really hope Niantic has somebody in a room somewhere brainstorming how this could actually make it into the game one day, and not just have written it off completely.
The thing is that sweeping updates like this would require such a huge lift. And the bugs would be rampant. They would have to roll it. They would have to say, hey, this stuff, held items can't be used in PvP, or abilities will not be activated in PvP, and slowly roll it out to 4 or 5 Pokemon at a time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they'd eventually catch up.
I think that when they are current with Pokemon releases, that needs to be the priority.
Yeah. That'll be the route that they go. It has to be. Sure. Yeah. Hey, that makes sense. Well, hey, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's PokePoll question, which was, once again, would you rather see abilities or held items added to Pokemon Go, and how would it work? Bonus points for an example. You can answer that question when we post it on X at GoCast Podcast. If you're listening on Spotify, in particular via the mobile app, you can also answer the question there via the interaction tab, however it appears to you on your phone. The question will be posted there. If you're watching the video version of this podcast on YouTube, you can answer in a comment there. Please do. We'd love you for it. You can also answer if you're a patron of ours in our Discord. We have a channel for the PokePoll. The PokePoll is posted there every week, and we take answers from there first. And you can also send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com/or leave a voicemail by calling 262-586-7717. And speaking of emails and voicemails, Mr. Kyle, we've got a heap in front of us. What would you call this heap?
I'd say that they're emails.
That's right. And a handful of voicemails. So we didn't do emails or voicemails last week because we were running really long. So we've got a bunch to go through. We're going to start off with some voicemails here. And this one is from Brio.
Hey, guys. This is Brio. Just wanted to drop you a line after Go Tour Sinnoh. Hope you guys had a great time. Chris, I hope you had a great time on your second go around.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, I got a little sad with you, I'm sure, when I found out about the one Spiritomb encounter. So I guess we'll just have to go in person next time to have that perk. Anyways, we had a great time here in Colorado. Just went around, met a bunch of new trainers, caught a bunch of awesome new Pokemon. I think the one thing that my community, they always get a little bit hung up on, is that Go Tour doesn't really have that high of a shiny rate. So it's always a little bit more challenging for the trainers that are walking around. But I did see a lot of really great shinies. I think the way that they did Uxie and Mesprit and Azelf was really cool. It had a lot of people bouncing around and shouting out where things were. I saw a lot of awesome, encounters with trainers that got really excited and screamed in the park, which is amazing. So, anyways, hope you guys are doing great. Great job as usual, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, I think the disappointment around the one Spiritomb was felt by everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Except Spiritomb haters, I suppose. I don't know any, but imagine they're out there.
I don't think they exist.
The fact that I exist says that somebody has to exist that also hates things that I like.
So. No, that's not necessarily true, because it's only true.
I hate things that other people like. So
yeah, but that doesn't mean that people hate things that you like. That just,
no, it's yes. There's nothing in the world is universally liked. Nothing.
Well,
not even Keanu Reeves.
That is okay. We're gonna move on. I'm gonna argue with you.
You know this is true.
No, that's
you know there's people out there.
Those people are just wrong, and they don't actually dislike Keanu Reeves. They just like to think that they don't like Keanu Reeves. And they're wrong. They're wrong for it. Anyway, our next voicemail is from Hero Ice.
Hey, GoCast, PvP Corner, and Stardust crew. I hope you all are doing well on this soon-to-be winter over spring start season. For me, it feels like it's always been spring. I'm still living in 75-degree weather, and in probably a couple of weeks, it'll probably jump up to the 90s, so I am not ready for that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no
but
thanks.
I figured I'd give you guys a quick voicemail on the seasonal update episode and kind of ask if you guys wanted to do a State of the Union for Pokemon Go, or a State of the Game, one might say. What have been some things that you guys have been enjoying about the game, and what are some things that you find that are frustrating that you wish would be better? For me, one thing that I'm really enjoying is the ability to have a lot more the events with the new Pokemon and a lot more shiny releases. I feel like, especially towards the beginning part in December and January, we started to have some good events. Not great, but good. But I think for my negative, it's just kind of the way the game is being treated in general between GBL and especially with the Sinnoh Global. It feels like Niantic just doesn't have the resources or the priorities set to kind of cater to more of the general audience, and it feels like they're kind of missing out. It feels like the game is starting to suffer a little bit for it. So I'd love to hear your guys' thought, and as always, shiny vibes all. Hope you guys all have a wonderful spring.
Okay, well, sorry that we didn't play this last week so you could get more answers from everybody, but here we are. Kyle and I will do our best. So what is something you've been enjoying, and what's something that's been bumming you out lately about the game? Let's go with our negatives first. Let's start with that, and we'll end with a positive.
All right. Well, I think my negative is pretty universal. A lot of people are going to go like, yeah.
Okay. What is it?
It's too many tickets.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like remote raised, and I was going to be like, yeah.
No, I mean, that's a universal fact. I'm not
going
to repeat it because everyone's going to be like, okay, and.
Right. Sure.
There's too many tickets. And like, so I spend less on Go in general. Just nowadays, there's less I need to spend money on. I don't feel as compelled to do every raid and everything because I've done at least all of it once or more. But I used to buy every single ticket. I'd buy every community day whenever there was an event. I bought the Mr. Rhyme ticket. You know, I've gotten a fair few of them bought for me, and I've also gotten some for free from Niantic. But every single one of those was usually a plan for me to buy it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last maybe 6 months or so, it's really been like, I'll buy the community day ticket. And then like the others are like,
yeah,
just too much. Not even necessarily that they're bad value, because I'd say 75% of them are technically good value. There's just too many of them that I don't feel my money is worth it anymore. So I've stopped, and I only buy the ones that matter to me, I think.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's been a pro to your con, though, is that, you know, you're spending like a little bit less on it. But
well, yeah, but that's a me thing. Not necessarily that it's a positive in general. It's a positive for me. I'm spending less money, but like, The thing that is causing the positive is not good.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right.
The fact that I feel like I'm being charged too much, so I want to pay less, is not a positive experience, even though I am saving money.
Yeah, I guess I just can't argue with that. Yeah. You know, that's a good way to own it. You know, and it doesn't take away from the negative aspect of it. And that's kind of how I feel about my answer, is that I don't like the way that the game economy has suffered lately. And this is, yes, part of the remote raid pass changes. But in general, rewards for things and bundles have not been the same value that they've been in the past, to the point where we've gotten several boxes where like you're charging us 800 Poke Coins for berries and 10 ultra balls and stuff like that. It's just, it's really bad game feel, especially those of us that were like, yeah, we're gonna stick through around from the remote raid pass changes, and like, okay, I can also do these other things, and those things have become more prohibitive just in general. Now lately that trend has kind of changed. They've put some of these like very high cost boxes that are starting to claw back a bit at some of the value propositions that we used to see a long time ago. Case in point, some of those incubator boxes we saw around Sinnotaur, right? They were actually pretty decent value. Were they expensive as all heck? Absolutely. But you know,
See what that's the standout for me is that we've had good value stuff, but not at a reasonable purchasing price.
Yes, yes. And so I still think it feels bad for that reason.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's bothers me. That bothers me. But what's a positive for you, Kyle, lately from the game?
Part of me wants to say you need to get back to me. Because like, part of me wants to say events, because I think we've had some good, we've had solid events. But then I also remember how I felt around the Chinese New Year event.
Oh yeah, the lunar festival stuff. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, can I really say events when I was so negative about that?
Yeah, but like one out of, you know, 15 or something that you like walk away and like, oh,
five or six. But
yeah, but like it's very rare that you're like, this event is bad.
Yes, this is fair.
You know, sometimes you're like, this part stinks, but the rest of it's fine. And
yeah,
and
to I think their events have at least had good identity lately, yeah. With the exception of the Lunar Festival that I had issues with. It's like, this is fairies. You want this? Oh, you don't want this, but there's a new shiny. Or you get a specific bonus for great throws. You get extra XL candy, stuff like that. They really do have, like, a focus for each event, which is nice.
Yeah, I would agree. I am, this is going to be so at odds with what I just said, though, too, for my negative.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Okay, while my remote raiding life has declined, I am living my best egg hatching life right now. My best egg hatching life right now. Yeah, of course.
Awful. I have one Char Cadet potential egg right now because I have eight other ones.
Oh, I have many potential because I've hatched many since it's been a possibility, and yet I am still Char Cadet less. Hey, I'm happy that of all the things that have gotten some value back, it's been incubators at the right times. If you wait and then you buy a bunch, that's what I've been doing. Egg hatching has been at an all-time high for me. I might not be hatching very useful things or very shiny things all the time, but I am loving it. It's been fun. big egg hatching culture in my personal life right now, I suppose. Thank you very much for that voicemail, Hero Ice. We hope that you got some decent answers from us. This next one is from Kevin Red Bull.
Hey, Chris and Kyle. It's Kevin Red Bull here.
What up?
I just wanted to give you my take on Sinnotaur, because it's an hour and a half past Sinnotaur at the moment. I got to say, it's pretty great, honestly. The routes worked. Everything, the race worked, no problem. I didn't have any issues with my friends list or raid invites or remoting. There was no glitches that I could tell of. The shiny rates, which everybody always wants to talk about, I thought were pretty good. I didn't play the full day either days because, you know, I just had other things going on. I have most things, and I just, you know, I just wanted to take breaks. I didn't want to spend a whole 8 hours straight. I wanted to spend time with my girl and with my dogs. But I ended up with 25 shinies overall during the weekend.
Ooh, nice.
I got every shiny that I really wanted. I didn't care whether I got anything out of the eggs or not, which I did not get anything out of the eggs. Also, I did end up being the only person out of my group of six or seven people that got a shiny origin form Dialga. I don't know what it was about, though, if it was just my group or everybody, but it seemed impossible to get the shiny origin form Dialga. And I managed to get a pretty good three-star one. So I was really happy to finish the day with that. And after the event ended, me and my two buddies and my fiance, new little tuna, were sitting around checking our shinies and stuff and doing our researches that we didn't claim. I got the shiny Hisuian Sneasel I didn't get during the whole event. I was so happy.
Oh, very nice.
And my fiance, new little tuna, was checking her IVs on her shinies, and she got a Shundo Stunky.
Nice.
Oh my God, I gasped and just rolled back in my chair in awe. Everybody was flabbergasted. We were cheering and hollering. It was amazing because she barely played. She barely ever plays, really. She played maybe 3.5 hours today and maybe 2-3 hours yesterday. And she nabbed the only Shundo of the weekend. It was fantastic.
It's always
so honestly, I got to say, the event did really well. I had a great time. Everybody seemed to have a good time. So I hope you guys had a good time as well. Shiny vibes all. I want to hear all about it. I want to hear, what was your favorite moment of the weekend? What was your favorite shiny of the weekend? Please and thank you. Kevin Red Bull, out.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure we actually already covered this on the show, but let's revisit it anyway. First of all, okay, like 3 hours one day and 2.5 hours the other day. It's not hyper casual. That's still playing.
That's a lot. That's a good amount.
Yeah, we just have a very skewed view of it because all three of us play every hour possible. okay, so what was your best memory and then your best catch from Sinnoh Tour?
Well, my best catch, I got a shiny 14-14-14 Dialga with Roar of Time. So
nice.
No Hundo, no 15 attack, but it's close enough that I've already taken it to level 40, and I can actually almost take it to level 50. Yo.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Buddy. Oh, as for moment, my God, it's my brain has deleted everything apparently from that weekend.
It was a couple of weeks ago now, and you and I just don't have the RAM on our board to handle that.
I'm not going to lie. If I'm being honest right now, my favorite moments for the weekend are not related to Go at all and are probably not appropriate to share just because of the jokes that were told.
Oh, sure. But, God, you're making this sound so bad.
I mean, it was pretty bad.
I know what you're talking about.
So
I don't take any of it back.
As much of a cop-out as it is, my best moments were the conversations that were had in the car over the course of the 16 hours of driving around.
That's right. Okay. my favorite catch was actually a hatch, and it was the Chatot that I hatched at LA. I did not hatch any. Well, I did catch my Pachirisu during Global, but the Chatot was really big because I was so focused on those eggs and I was having no luck. The Chatot really brought me back to reality. It was fantastic. And I think my favorite moment, if I had to label one that wasn't as freeform as Kyle's answer, I suppose, was when we got a new rotation of raids and the two gyms that we were currently under both had a Rowlet, and I was like, oh geez, I don't have to worry about this, I can shiny check. That was a good moment where I was like, man, these one star raids really do have a purpose. It allows me to just not have FOMO about these raids right now. Wonderful. All right, great. Thank you very much, Kevin Red Bull, for your voicemail. Our last voicemail is from the one, the only, Sarah Amanda.
Hey, GoCast, Sarah Amanda here. So this last week in Sinnoh Tour, I actually thought I wasn't going to be able to play any of the event because, like, at the start of the year, I'd already planned out, like, what are the big board gaming trips I'm going to take with my significant other, because that's, like, the main hobby we share. And that exact weekend, we had a whole week trip planned to Asheville. And, like, this is actually, like, one of my most favorite trips because we see, like, 100 people, and it's, like, it has the vibe of a family reunion where you're actually happy to see everybody there. And we don't just play games. We do touristy stuff, and we just catch up, and it's really nice. So that was my plan for the weekend. So I literally, like, was not keeping up with the details of Sinnoh Tour because I was not planning to play the event. So that being said, my sister, she lives within 3 hours of Asheville. She and her boyfriend, they both play Monster Hunter. And I was like, please, please, please come to Asheville sometime while I'm there this week. I need help with being 8 stars and ogre. I'll buy you guys dinner. Please, please, please. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. And I was like, okay, cool. What day? And they're like, oh, Saturday. I'm like, cool, cool. See you then. So that was the plan. So anyway, Saturday rolls around, and I think I'm just going to have a normal day playing board games. But nope, like, the allure of, like, I can do these new origin forms, and they can be shiny, and they have special move. That was, like, a lot stronger of a pull than I thought it would be. So yeah, people were thankfully sending me remote raids, and I was doing as many of them as I could. I got super lucky in that on raids 3 and 4, I had already gotten both shiny form, origin forms.
Wow.
And obviously, those were the remote raids I was doing. Why would I remote raid, like, a non-origin form one? But anyway... Exactly. So I was doing all the raids I could, and I was like, well, maybe I'll get another shiny. Maybe I'll get a Shundo. So, you know, I was just pouring money, like, directly into my phone so I could do all the raids. And I was playing board games at the same time, which is kind of crazy because, like, okay, you're going to be, if you're playing board games with people, you like, you really should focus on actually taking your turn. And if you want to do well, like, what are your opponents doing? No. That way when your turn comes, you take your turn, boom, go. It's like really rude if you're like fidgeting on your phone and it's your turn and you don't know what to do and you're holding the game up. Obviously, I wasn't doing that because I'm not a rude person. But needless to say, when it was time to meet up with my sister, I was ready to go. Now, the weird thing was when we initially made this plan, the plans were literally dinner, Sinogre. But the plans like very quickly became Sinotaur, dinner, Sinogre. So we went to downtown Asheville. We walked around, played. It was like I'd kind of made a mistake wearing a light coat with a zipper that was busted. So, and I had no gloves. I left that in my other coat. And so it was cold. Oh, but it was fine. We just like, you know, walk around, hide in a building, walk around. But for the last hour, we ended up merging with a group of locals. And it was such a relief just being able to follow them to the raids and not worry about how to get to the gym because, like, we didn't know that area, the area that well, obviously. I was chatting with the group leader and I was like, I'm crazy and I play four Niantic games. I play Ingress, I play Pikmin Bloom, and I also play Monster Hunter. And his eyes went wide. He was like, you play Monster Hunter? I'm the only person in this whole city that plays the game. I don't know anyone else that plays. And I looked at my sister and her boyfriend. I'm like, dude, come with us to dinner. And so we helped him beat a 6-star Zenogre, which he hadn't done before. And it was great. Anyway, I had a good weekend. Nice. That's all. Peace there, Amanda.
Monster Fest when? Oh my gosh.
That sounds so good. It will be in Japan, so don't get too excited about that.
Okay. We gotta get into whatever sort of creator program they got going on, you know? Whatever that is. You know?
Don't fool yourself. That game is running purely on the hype that Monster Hunter has in Japan.
That's
which
fine.
Is extraordinarily large, by the way. For anyone who's like, funny. I don't see people playing, it's because 99.9% of people playing that game live in Japan.
Yeah, is it really that big over there?
I don't know about like profit-wise, but player-wise, it is quite big.
Yeah.
I can go downtown Chicago right now, I bet you I won't see a nearby hunter.
Probably not.
Yeah, which is absolute insanity. Go into a downtown city in Japan, you'll see hundreds nearby.
It's because people over here don't know what they're missing.
Well, yeah.
They don't know. They don't know. They're like, Monster Hunter, what do you do?
One game here, basically.
Hunt monsters? And you're like, yeah, but you don't understand. Gosh. Oh my gosh. Anyway, thank you for sharing your story, Sarah Amanda. And everybody listening was very jealous to hear about your shiny luck. I've only ever heard from people. I have only heard from people since that event about how cruddy the shiny rates were for the origin forms.
Yep.
So good on you and good for you. But that's it for voicemails. We've got some emails here. Mr. Kyle, you want to get us started?
All right, the first email is from Chowry. They said, hiya, it's me. Let me preface this by saying that I went a bit overboard with raids. Uh-oh. So to start off, I got a few lucky LA invites, got a shiny Dialga off the very first raid.
Ooh.
Then the road to Sinnoh began. Dark Ride Day, no shinies from raid hour, traded for the potential Great League Heatran and got a 1501.
Oh, no. Oh.
Cresselia Day, got a shiny Cresselia during raid hour and swapped the potential Great League Giratina. The other guy got a 1497. I got a 1529. Ugh. Hatched my first shiny Chingling.
Nice. Hey. Yeah.
Azelf Day. Didn't get the shiny Azelf, but everyone else attending the raid hour, about 20 to 30 people, got it from 4 to 6 that we did. Hatch two more shiny Chingling and a 4-star Bidoof. Okay, calm down with the Chingling now.
Very nice.
Heatran Day. Got two shiny Heatran. Saving one for a lucky trade for the elusive shiny Suicune. And almost level 50 the other. Hatch a shiny Mantyke and shiny Bonsly.
Oh my gosh, how many eggs were you
How many eggs did you hatch is the actual question.
Oh my word.
Giratina Day. Got two shiny Giratina, saving both for lucky swaps. Sinnoh Tour. Started off the day with a shiny Palkia and Dialga.
Nice use of the terminology.
Met up with the community and started an almost 16-hour raid train over the weekend. Once the excitement subsided and 6 o'clock rolled around on Sunday, I had 10 shiny Palkia, 5 of each form, and 7 Dialga, only 1 regular. Holy, that's a lot of raids.
That's a lot of shinies.
I'd hit level 46, gotten over 600 rare candy and 40 rare candy XLs, and had 3 new level 50 Pokemon. Shiny Spatial Rend Lucky Palkia, Shiny Roar of Time Lucky Dialga, and a 14-14-14 Shiny Regular Palkia. All double moved and now pending best buddies.
Holy nice. Cow. Very nice.
Other notable catches include 2 Shiny Uxie, 1 level 1 Uxie. The auto catcher I was running on day 1 somehow caught it in a Pokeball.
Nice. Very nice.
I think I caught one from my Go Plus Plus as well.
Yeah, one of my I think I got 2 Mesprits like that. Yeah.
It's crazy. So low, even at level 1.
Oh yeah.
A shiny 98% altered Giratina. I think you mean Giratina.
Giratina!
Shiny white stripe Basculin. Ah, the white whale. Forever.
A tiny white whale.
I don't know. Have you seen Steve's buddy? I think he's got an XXL white stripe Basculin shiny.
Oh, really?
Buddy.
Is it
a big boy.
Okay.
It is like half the size of the character model.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, I thought it was a lot smaller than that. Oopsies.
I'd love to go into even more detail, but this email is long enough. Looking forward to the next season. Incensed Hundo vibes all. Chowry. Wow. That's a lot of raids, but I need to know how many eggs you hatched on the road to Sinnoh.
It's a lot of Pokemon Go in general, but it looks like you got what you wanted out of it. A lot of really great catches, so congratulations. Good on you, and good effort out there. My word. Oof. We've got another email. This one is from Ryan, and they said, "Hey, GoCast, I might have figured out what the GoFest Mythical is." Oh, actually, now we already know, so. Yeah. I realized this today in class. Don't worry, I finished my work. What if the reason we didn't get Arceus and Go Tour Sinnoh is because we get it at GoFest? Since Arceus is a mythical Pokemon, it could very well be a ticketed research for the event. What do you think? Also, Chris, Roar of Time is better if you're 300,000 off from level 40. I still don't think it's worth it. Yes, so that was a good guess. We have since now, actually, as of today, we got a teaser for details being released for GoFest, and in that short little trailer they show Marshadow's shadow behind a tree, and that's pretty cool. We didn't cover it today because it's not actual concrete news quite yet, and once we have details we'll talk about it. But Kyle Marshadow,
I'm so excited. I love Marshadow.
Yeah. Marshadow's a great Pokemon.
Fighting ghost type, like,
wonderful. Yeah. Punches. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much, Ryan, for your email. Appreciate it.
Our last email's from Ben. They said, "Hey, Chris and Kyle, I've been listening to the podcast for about a year, which is about how long I've been playing the game. I enjoy the contrast between the grinder, Chris, and the guy who often seems bored by nearly every event, Kyle. As I can relate to both at different times. The one thing that drives me a little bonkers is the disparity in goals. Kyle's goals are oftentimes the nebulous buddy progress and friendship, which apparently amounts to getting 3 hearts on a buddy a couple times and opening a few gifts.
That's hard work.
Chris's goals are usually hatch 6,000 eggs, rough estimate, and catch a staggering amount of shinies. These goals are then tallied as if it's equal playing field, and Kyle often wins. Sometimes I think this is actually a funny bit, but other times it makes me unreasonably irritated. I'm just curious if this has been addressed in the past, as I assumed it has. Love the show, and I apologize for nothing. Cheers, Ben." So,
Ben's got your number, man. Ben has got your number.
So, it's evolved to be a little bit of a bit, but yeah. Especially during the winter, I really do not set very specific goals because I know that's going to dissuade me. So instead I set goals that determine the way that I'm going to interact with the game. Chris just sets unreasonable goals all the time.
Yeah.
So that's just, yeah.
Yeah. That's I mean, we both know the rules and we both play every week, and I just am not as intelligent about trying to win as Kyle is.
Yeah. And also come around the summer, I usually do set more specific goals in general. Yeah. Yeah. And neither of us are actually trying to win. Let's just make that very clear for anyone who might get this far and takes it maybe too seriously. Though we're saying someone won because we're numerically technically comparing, but no, nobody's actually winning. It's okay. But we each have a confetti drawer full of the belt at this point. So
true. It has gone back and forth several times. I feel like we used to have much more similar goals, and then we sort of like over the years have settled into our specific play styles. Mm-hmm. And it's great because like when we play together, we play together and those things fall to the wayside, right? Generally speaking, you up your gameplay to be much more like hardcore. Like you can turn it on and off. If you're like, I'm gonna grind.
I'm gonna not care
for 3 months. Like
when I'm playing, because I, you know, when I like to play Go, I don't want to start my week, see the event and say, all right, I'm catching 500 Pokemon a day, because I will do it. And at the end of the week, I'm not going to have actually had fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to have just accomplished what I wanted to do and then be upset instead, which is the opposite of what I want the goal to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. And I just got into a habit. At first, it was one-upping whatever Kyle had set before by like a few numbers. I would just take the same goals and add some more. And now we've taken completely different routes. No pun intended. So, yep, it has not been addressed before. It ain't that deep, I guess.
it kind of just naturally evolved, being fully honest.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It didn't require an evolutionary stone or a metal coat and a trade. It just sort of happened because we hit like level 35 or something. All right, cool. Anyway, thank you very much for the emails and the voicemails, everybody. If you, dear listener, would like to do the same, you can by sending an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You can also call 262-586-7717 and leave a voicemail there. You could, of course, just email me a voice file as well if you'd like to go that route instead of calling the number. Just bear in mind, if it is over like 3 minutes, we probably will either cut it down or forego. Because that's really long. Keep it kind of fair for everybody. Visit our website for all things GoCast at GoCastPodcast.com. Follow us on X at GoCast Podcast. We do giveaways and stuff on there from time to time. You can also follow our personal X accounts. You'll see them sort of like promoted through our stuff. Like I retweet between our two accounts from time to time. Kyle never posts.
I have an X account. I don't use it. I don't like X.
Yeah, that's fair. Like you didn't like it when it was Twitter, when it was good.
I did
not. Yeah. So hey, understood and appreciated. You can help support the show monetarily for as little as $1 a month and get access to our patron Discord by going to Patreon, and that is spelled patreon.com/GoCastPodcast. And you can give more for other benefits, but the first tier is $1. Gets you into that Discord that we talk about all the time. Speaking of patrons, shout outs to our elite trainer tier patrons. Big thank you to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Arkham, Marvin, Amimi, Sforzer, Hisui, and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camo, The Ugly Rock, Jacob, Victoria, and Sarah Lore. Thank you very, very much for your generous support in helping us keep the digital lights on. And if you don't have monetary support in the cards for you, therefore, then for us, please, you can still help support the show in a big, big way by leaving us a review. We got a new review since last week, and this one is from Buckets33000. They said, awesome. This is so good. I couldn't agree more. Thank you. Thank you for your feedback. Mr. Kyle, speaking of goals. And the bit that it has evolved into. Let's talk about what our goals are for this upcoming week/weekend. I don't think that there's an event happening. Is there?
I mean, there's the Horizons.
Oh, that event. Yeah. Oh, gosh, you're right. Okay. Fine. My man. Okay.
It's not going to happen. I have 5 7-kilometer eggs in incubators right now. But
he just begrudgingly typed in Char Cadet. All right, so what are your goals for this week? Wow, you went up me there. Oh my gosh! Okay,
I have to. I need to, I need to get 25 kilometers on my adventure sync this week because okay. I'm almost level 48 and I don't have.
Oh yeah, that's goal. The thing. Yeah,
so I'm at 6 out of 8 apparently. Gonna carry over the clear my 2K storage because I am in desperate need right now. It's not good. I'm going to continue gifting every day. I've been very good about it. At least opening. If I have not opened your gift, I'm telling you right now, we are either already best friends, or you are farther down my list alphabetically, and I'm sorry. The list defaults to ordering alphabetically when you
can select change that.
Can open gift.
Oh, well, actually, I think it defaults to whatever the one was before that.
Oh, does it? Wait,
I think that's how it works. So if really? You do by like, so
if you do like by online and then by gift, it'll show the no.
Oh, it does not? Oh,
default
okay.
All. So whenever I do gift, like has a gift for me to open,
yeah,
it does it alphabetically. So all the numbers are at the top.
Oh, I thought you could change that. I'm mistaken. Thanks for checking that right away. Wow.
So yeah, gonna do that. I apologize. I'll get there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna best buddy my Dynamite, my Hundo Hydreigon. He's very close. It's only 30 hearts away.
Nice.
300,000 experience. That's gonna put me at about 20 million of the 21 for my level, and get 2 Char Cadet, one to take into Armor Rouge, one to take into Cerulege. This one will not happen. Unless I get exceptionally, it's going to take a lot of luck for that one to happen.
I'm pulling for you. Good luck. You can hatch any egg. Any egg will do.
My biggest problem is I have to clear the 9 that I have right now.
Yeah.
And I only have regular incubators at the moment.
Oh my God. You ran out of supers?
I used every single one at at Sinnoh Tour.
Oh my gosh. Really? Wow.
155 eggs that I hatched.
It's not a lot.
That's a lot of eggs.
Yeah, well, depends what you ask.
No, it's not. I guarantee you that for 99.99999% of people who play this game, 155 eggs in 2 days is a lot of eggs.
I'm happy to be in the top 1% of something, you know? And if it's wasting my money on eggs in Pokemon Go, then so be it.
Oh my God.
All right, those are some great goals. Mine are a little bit less great, but it's because I am literally going to be out of town working throughout the weekend, so I won't be able to take too much advantage. But I'd like to hatch 50 eggs, get to 250,000 Stardust. Again, I have a goal of hitting 20 million Stardust this year or season, one of those two. I want to have 20 million in my inventory. 2 shinies, it could be anything. At least 1 Char Cadet, and I am going to carry over my clear 2,000 storage because it needs to be done. I am sitting with just 400 spots open right now.
And yeah, it's about me too.
It's painful. 7,400 is too many Pokemon.
Oh, I'm at 6,350 out of 68.
See, you could buy half of that goal.
I could.
Pay to win, Kyle.
I will not. I do not need 8,000 storage space. I don't need
Well, you can't have it. 7,800.
Come talk to me again in 2 months when GoFest is right around the corner or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably have a different tune. I'm pretty sure last GoFest I bought 1,000 storage space. So
now that we've had a couple of events, I meant to ask you this privately before we can do it now. How many shinies do you have in your inventory now?
In my inventory, I have 1,320.
And you've been making an effort to transfer them, right?
Oh, yeah. Like Shiny Weedle. Like, I used to have 45 of those. I have 6.
Oh, my gosh.
All gone.
Yeah, I need to stop just saying that I need to do that and actually do it.
It is a literal task. You have to sit down and, like, dedicate 2 hours to just doing it. And it's rough.
Yeah. I'm at 2,971.
Oh my God.
I'm getting really close to 3,000. Do I want to go for the 3,000 or do I want to be like, I'm going to get it?
No. You can trim that to 1,500 in your sleep. I guarantee you have 1,000 Community Day Shinies that you could get rid of and not even notice.
I love when you like scroll and then all of a sudden you hit a block of the same Pokemon for like way too long. Oh my God, that Teddy Ursa just went by. Rock and roll.
How many shiny Teddy Earths did you have? Right now, I want you to select one of them and transfer it.
No can do, Kyle. It's got to be ceremonial.
No. If you make it ceremonial, it's going to take you 18 hours. 36. You don't need 36. You need 6.
You know,
maybe 9. You can keep 9. That's fine.
The other one that caught my eye was Noibat. I've got 43 of those.
Yeah, I know you have 43 Noibat. I bet you still have 45 Weedle, don't you?
Oh, don't be like that, man. Don't be like that.
Yeah, 65?
11.
You have 11? Okay, see, you cleaned that one.
I think I did.
Yeah. No, you did, because you played Weedle, and it was a six-hour day.
47 Charmander, though.
Yeah, you... It's such an easy clean. You could clean out Community Day. Okay, we're going to move on. We're done for today. Thank you so much.
The longer we do this, the more depressed we'll get. Or I will, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, all the way through. We'll catch you next week for episode 274. Until then, Shiny Vibes, good luck with the Pokemon Horizons, the series, the event. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.